This is a Real Footy Podcast Trade Period Special. Hello and welcome to day four of our daily Trade Period Podcast series. My name is Sam McClure. With me here again is Peter Ryan. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Sam. Excited to be here. Day four.
As we all are. And things, it must be said, are starting to heat up. Now, we haven't had as many trades as we thought. We have had one involving a pick swap between the Saints and the Giants, which does have pretty big ramifications. We'll get to that soon. But first, Orazio Fantasia, it seems he's made a decision and surprisingly staying put.
Yeah, big decision from Orazio. He's going to stay at Essendon next year, despite the fact that we all expected him to request a trade to Port Adelaide. He actually met with Port Adelaide, or his management had discussions with Port Adelaide. And Port Adelaide, to be honest, they're a bit surprised that he did not request a trade. But I think it got to the point where Orazio and his new manager, Michael Dowdy, thought, look, it's just gone too far into the trade period. If you're undecided about whether you should be requesting a trade, let's just stay put at Essendon. He's got two more years to run on his contract and we'll work through it from there. So he's made that decision. He's a bomber for 2020.
It's a fascinating one, Pete. It seems to me a little messy, but I guess that can be excused when you have the rare situation that a player is without a manager heading into the trade period.
Well, that was of his own making, obviously. He was with Anthony McConville and he got rid of him 6 weeks ago and has been sort of spruiking managers since then. And look, Essendon have been pretty patient. I wouldn't have been as patient as Essendon have been with Orazio. He was non-committal about whether he was staying, and Port Adelaide and Essendon even had some preliminary discussions on the first day of the trade period on Monday about what it might look like if he did in fact request a trade. So there was a little bit of a lot of time and energy wasted on his indecision. Fair enough. I mean, he's a young bloke and he's making that call whether to go back to his home in South Australia or stay with a club that he's reasonably happy at. So he's eventually decided, look, no decision is the best thing for me at the moment.
Well, good news for Bombers fans and well done to Essendon for keeping one of their young stars. Let's head to the trade that did go down. So St Kilda's pick swap with GWS. The details. So St Kilda have sent pick 6 to Greater Western Sydney, who have in turn giving them picks 12 and 18. Now, the real upshot of this is that it's infuriated Fremantle, who thought they were certain to get pick 6 in the deal for Brad Hill.
Correct. They called St Kilda's bluff, who we understand did tell Fremantle if they didn't grab that pick 6 that was on offer for Brad Hill, with a few extra things behind that, that they might miss out because they are deep in discussions with GWS about this particular trade that actually did go down, which is obviously Giants picking pick six. And just for our listeners, the reason why they want to get up the trade or the draft order is so that they can potentially pick a player before bids come for their academy graduate, Tom Green, who's a highly rated player and probably go between, you know, pick 8 and pick 20, even could go higher. So having pick 6 is an advantage for them. And for the Saints, it says, well, we've got two picks now inside the pick 20 and we can potentially use one of them on Brad Hill. I'm not sure what their strategy is from here, but certainly it's not going to be making Fremantle too happy.
Well, my read on it, Pete, is that, and we've written about this for the paper, St Kilda will think that pick 12 and something else will get the deal done for Brad Hill. Now, the Dockers will want at least another first-round pick, I would think. But the Saints won't want to do that because they want to use that on Ben King next year, potentially. I know that's all very much a year away, but that's how they'll be thinking. And pick 18, they'll want to hand to Port Adelaide for Dougal Howard. Now, it's classic posturing. Port will probably say they want a bit more than pick 18 because it's an end of first round pick. St Kilda will say, no, no, hang on. We want more than just Howard for pick 18. We want you to throw in Paddy Ryder. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. James Gallagher, the list manager at the Saints, and Jason Cripps, who's been doing it for a long time at Port Adelaide, both two of the more reasonable list managers. So I think that'll get done. The Saints will then have to wait on what the Bulldogs do for Josh Bruce before they get Zach Jones, and potentially even what the Cats do for Jack Stephen. So they are the one to watch, I reckon, the Saints.
Oh, they're the most critical player in the whole list at this stage of the trade period. Do you think Josh Bruce gets done? I mean, the Saints don't, or they want the Bulldogs pick 32, is that right? What's the scenario there?
The Saints want more than pick 32 for Josh Bruce.
And the Bulldogs are prepared to offer pick 32.
Yes.
Which isn't going, yeah, so it's going to be interesting.
And I'm not sure how the Dogs are going to get another pick.
Well, they've only got pick 13 or 14 at the moment, and so they're not going to give that up.
No, they're saying they've been pretty adamant they're going to the draft with that pick.
Yeah, interesting.
It certainly is. And Grant Birchall, the other news today?
Yep, accepted a one-year offer, a one-year deal to join Brisbane as a free agent, going down the same path that Luke Hodge did, obviously joining the Lions 2 years ago.
Could have gone to the Suns?
No, the Suns weren't that interested.
Right.
My understanding. I spoke to the Suns.
So a bit of a furphy, that one.
That was a furphy. The Lions,
there's a lot of those going around.
Yeah, there was. The Lions were definitely, obviously, making all the run. And then particularly when Jamie Elliott decided to stick with Collingwood, they really upped the ante for Grant Birchall. He's a good get. I mean, he hasn't played a lot of footy due to injury in the last 3 years, but he's back. He was back on the track and playing at the end of this year. So he should be right to go immediately next season.
Yep. They've become a bit of a destination club, the Lions. As have the Saints, by the way, almost overnight.
Well, the Saints have become ridiculously, they haven't got, big enough doors to fit everyone in. But they've got opportunity, they've got money, and they've got spots in the 22. So they're a reasonable destination. The Lions have just got a successful culture going up there, so people want to get in there.
Pete, some listener questions.
Love those.
It's a great part of our podcast because people get to have their own voice in listening to what we're talking about. So we'll start off with Matt, who asks Pete, why does Fremantle boss Peter Bell pretend to play hardball? We saw the same last year with Jesse Hogan asking for 2 first-round picks for Brad Hill. He's way overs. My question is, who blinks first?
Well, clearly the Saints haven't blinked. They've just moved on and made that deal.
I reckon they'd be good poker players.
Peter Bell's I like Peter Bell. But he's pretty inexperienced in this space.
It's only his first
real trade period. He had to step in late notice with Steve Rossich last year when Brad Lloyd went to Carlton. Mm. So he tried to, he talked a tough game last year with that famous feather in the cap if he was able to keep Lachie Neal, which has gone down in trade period history, really.
So it's Leathers v. Feathers.
Leathers v. Feathers, correct. So far, Leathers is slightly in front of Feathers.
Okay.
But look, they have to. Brad Hill will go to St Kilda, but they've missed the opportunity to get pick 6, and that's not a great result for them.
No, because it's everyone says he's got a contract, but it's always hard to see players walking back after demanding to leave. From Luke, thanks for that question, Matt. Luke says, any news on Archie to the Lions?
Well, this will come down to a discussion, negotiation around picks. I think this Brisbane have got pick 34 and 46.
46, yep.
So I think they'd prefer to give up pick 46, and I think the Suns would prefer them to give up pick 34. So it's a little bit of argy-bargy around that, but it's taking longer than everyone imagined.
Okay, nice update though. Thanks, Luke. Rusty asked Pete, are Collingwood going to make any moves? It's a good question.
Yeah, well, it is a good question because obviously everyone knows that the salary cap is something that they're having to balance out, given they've got those 3 players we mentioned last night. So Darcy Cameron comes in.
From the Swans,
who hasn't played a game as a ruckman and a backup ruckman for Brodie Grundy. The question is whether they can get any players out. Now, Matt Scherenberg is open to a move. He's still got 1 year on the contract. Hasn't been a lot of interest for him.
Which surprises me a bit. I mean, I know he's had his injury concerns.
He's a good player, but he didn't make the 22 for the finals, so he's looking for opportunity anywhere. And there's also, Tom Phillips' name keeps getting raised as a potential player that, Collingwood could be open to if a club came.
He'd be on fairly good money, wouldn't he?
You'd think he'd be on good money. He's a good player. He plays every week and he plays on the wing. And
right. Not many good wings around.
No, much more important position. And Rupert Wills has got an offer in front of him, but he's also got a couple of clubs just nibbling at the moment.
Do we know who they are?
We're not certain that they are, but clubs that are looking for a big-bodied midfielder are the type of clubs that would be interested in Rupert.
Good on you, Rusty. Appreciate that. A follow-up question from Kevin. Are they going, this is the Pies, keep on quoting salary cap restraints excuses for almost any activity going forward?
Why not? Works.
Quite pointed there from Ken.
Well, they have got it themselves into a bit of a salary cap, not bind, but players such as...
But that's what happens when you have lots of good players.
Correct.
It happened with the Giants.
Absolutely. Yep. So, Degoe, Grundy and Moore are 3 of the most in-demand players in the comp, and they're going to go up from a middling wage to among the big dogs. So, obviously, salary cap's going to be squeezed, and then they've got guys like Jaden Stevenson, who goes from first 2 year money to serious money in the next couple of years.
From Alan, can the Gold Coast Suns pre-list academy players or Northern Territory players and then trade them on to other teams before the draft within other deals or for the picks? It's a good question.
It is a good question. We know that they got those concessions from the AFL, which gives them the Darwin
yep.
zone. And
which a lot of clubs are pretty jealous of.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've seen some great players come out of Darwin, and they've also got the academy. They can just put them on their list or pre-list them without the bidding process getting in the way, which is a good thing. They did ask the AFL whether they could have the right to trade away those rights for particular players, mm-hmm. and that was denied. So the answer is no, they can't at the moment.
Yeah, it's fair enough, I think.
I think it's fair enough, but it would be another element that you can see potentially coming in down the track.
Good clarification, though, because even I wasn't sure about that one. And lastly, from Daniel, whose question is very simple. Tex to the D's? Question mark.
I presume we're not talking about Tex Perkins. Tex Walker. I love those questions because they're perfect trade fodder. We have not heard that, but Tex's name was mentioned by a couple of people in relation to Essendon if they lose Joe Danaher.
Is he really? Well,
just as a commentator saying that he's the sort of player they should target. And we know that Adelaide's going through that big list overhaul. He's resigned from the captaincy. I don't think he's going to the D's. We haven't got any of that sort of information, but he's certainly one to watch.
Before we finish up, Pete, and thank you to all our listeners and our questions, Brad Crouch, he's staying put. The deal with the Gold Coast Suns has gone south.
Is that right?
Yep. He wanted too much money.
Yep.
And I don't think the Suns were willing to A, pay the contract, and B, provide the trade that Adelaide would have wanted, which is almost certainly one of their two picks.
Well, there's no way they'd give away one or two.
No.
Nor should they. And even at the money, I think it's a smart move from Gold Coast to say, look, hang on, he's a good player. He's the sort of player
we probably need. Yep.
But we shouldn't be overpaying these blokes to come in just because we're desperate.
Yep. I think Craig Cameron, their list manager, he's a wise head. He's been around for a while. Brad Crouch wanted similar money at the Saints. The Saints said no. So, I mean,
he's a really good midfielder, but he's not a rolled gold elite midfielder. No, he's missed footy through injury. So it's not like you're getting Nat Fyfe or Danger or one of these guys.
And some people would say that his reputation's taken a bit of a hit for wanting these sort of deals. But you've got to remember that Brad, unlike Matt, has missed essentially two full years of footy. So he's looking for security. Yeah. He doesn't want to get halfway through next year when he's out of contract and then go down again.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Affects his whole deal.
Look, you can ask.
Hey, you can always ask.
That's what we do all our lives, Sam.
Yeah. Well, we should go to the people at the Age and demand.
Yeah, I'd be a bit scared to ask for too much,
to be honest. You can only ask.
Correct. I'll be off to do that now.
Pete, appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Don't forget, you can head to theage.com.au/AFL for all our latest news and analysis, and follow our live blog from 9 a.m. on Friday and every weekday. We'll be back again with another podcast special tomorrow evening. As always, thanks for listening.